Welcome to the October 31st, 2018, Your Living Brand Live Show. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. Now, this show is all about how do people add value? How do you stop being a commodity, and how do you start being a brand worth loving? How do you get people to understand how you're valuable to them in a way that they're going to listen to, and they're going to care about, and they're going to engage with? And that's the important thing. It's how do you differentiate yourself? How do you tell your brand story in such a way that people sit there and go, oh, that's interesting. That can help me. I can use that information. Maybe I should find out some more. Because when people do that, when people are engaged, when people are interested, all of a sudden your value goes up. You stop being commodity. You stop being another price. You stop being the lowest, you know, common denominator, and you start being someone that people find valuable. And that's what this show is about. Each week I interview another guest and I find out from them what makes them valuable. What's their story? How do they help people and how do they add value? And this week is no different. Fabio Marara comes to me from First Ontario Credit Union. He is young, he's dynamic, and he's done an incredible job of branding himself and making opportunities happen. Sit back, listen to the story, and I'll be back after the show. Fabio, thank you very much for being on the show today. It is great seeing you again. How you been?
Fantastic, Ben. Honestly, like I remember when you reached out, this is one that I was really looking forward to chatting with you on, and appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, you know, there's always so much to talk about with you. You know, you got stuff going on at work. You got stuff going on the personal side. You just let me know about a shout out you just got in Dubai. So that's really cool. I mean, we'll talk about it all. But for those people who don't know about this show is all about how do you create value? You know, how do you create the idea for people to know that they should listen to you? They should understand the value that you provide to them and that they're going to engage. Because everybody's unique. Everybody's got something that they do a little bit differently. And everybody's got a story to tell. So tell me the story first about, you know, the credit union. Let's talk about the credit union first. And then we can talk about you personally. And what are the things that you're doing in order to, you know, first of all, provide value? And second of all, get under people to understand the value that you provide.
I love that. That's a great question. It's got a lot of moving parts in it. I think, so for me, I like to, whenever I talk about my story, I like to say my story tends to go back to some of the work that I've done at college and university. You know, I didn't really know what I was doing. I wasn't sure where I wanted to go. And then I went to my first year of university. Didn't love the program, dropped out, just finished the year, decided to work for a year, figure things out. And then I decided to go back to college, but
good
this time with a commitment to say, yeah, you know, I don't want to waste my time there and just kind of go to class. So when I got to my first week, I went to the dean, the chair of the business school, his name is Jim, and I asked him, Jim, like, what can I do to stand out and not really, waste my time here? I really wanted to, be a cut above everybody else. By the time I graduate, I'm not here that long. It was only a couple of years. And
he right.
said, don't be a PCP student. And he said, you know, parking lot, classroom, parking lot. You're going to come to class and you're just going to put your time in. Like, you're not going to get the most that you can out of it. So
right.
I really got involved. And from there, I got to be part of some cool competing national teams.
Nice.
You know, as a student, got to help businesses in my community who needed help, and we worked on their marketing plans. We worked on some cool programs. We built a financial literacy program for high school students. We built a training program of teaching kids, elementary school kids, how to start a business, entrepreneurship, the concepts
nice.
Of entrepreneurship. So some of these things, I'm like, you just don't get that in the classroom.
No.
I thought there's so many people missing out on this, and I just doubled down on that. And the experiences that I learned there were just so valuable to translate into my career. And so I took those exact same concepts of doing more than expected, getting involved and trying new things, and sort of that very entrepreneurial spirit. And I took
sure.
that into the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I took that and transitioned that into my career at First Ontario Credit Union. And so,
so how long have you been at First Ontario now?
Yeah, it's going to be 7 years,
wow.
7 years in 2019, in the spring. So, it's about 6.5 years. It's been amazing. You know, when you get to work for an organization that cares for their people and cares for your personal and professional development and
right.
wants to see you succeed and, you know, challenges you in a lot of different positions. It's, it's a great place to be. You know, it's rare to find that. So it's been amazing.
Well, you feel wanted, you feel needed.
Yes, yes. And I've been, you know, I've moved around in multiple different areas, not even sometimes by choice, but by sheer, we want to start a new team or a new exciting division, and we want your help on it. And so I've been able to be really, you know, fortunate to be part of some of those teams where I get to be part of some cool new visions and then be part of those teams to sort of start building. And that sort of leads to what I do today as a manager of partnerships, where we get to work with lots of amazing community partners, you know, some cool reputable brands, national brands in Canada, like the CFL's Hamilton Tiger Cats. And you get to help build the experience, the fan experience, but at the same time benefit from a marketing perspective for us. So we work with a lot of these different partners to help with our marketing initiatives to really be good partners. We help them, they help us. And, you know, I think that's partnerships is such an underutilized place in the business world these days.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, you know, two people are stronger than one, or 10 people are stronger than one. So
absolutely.
It's been amazing to see how this side has grown. So I've been really doing that. So that concept of trying new things and working harder, that from like went from started in college, has just translated my career, and I continue to build things sometimes just for fun. And then they turn out to be something that is beneficial to my career and turns into, you know, a new project that we're like, yeah, let's roll with something like this.
Right.
So I love that. And I've really, even in the last year, have translated that into my own personal side. So I thought there's still some more I love to do. I want to get like, I feel like there's more I can have an impact on. And that's when I came across LinkedIn. And
right.
So I thought, I'm going to start sharing my story to impact more people. And it's amazing to see the community that I've been able to be a part of and build over the last year or so, and just meet some of the best people across the entire world. And that's sort of, I know someone's asked me, like, where are you going to go next? You know, whether it's your career, personal side, what have you. I said, I have no idea.
Exactly.
I don't know what the next 5 years is going to look like. What I do know is that I'm loving what I'm doing, and it's kind of going every day. You can wake up and feel that it's leading somewhere good.
Right.
I have this feeling that it's going somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but I'm taking every day. There's a step up, and it's exciting to just see where it's going to be in 5 years.
That's great. You know, it's interesting, you know, unpacking that whole thing. It says, I was at an event last night, and the event was called, If I Knew Then What I Didn't Know, What I Didn't Know Then and I Know Now. And it was a whole bunch of speakers doing 5-minute talks about, you know, if they had known then what they know now, you know, how their world had changed. And this one guy talked about being default yes. And that's the one thing that resonates with me about you, is that your default is yes. You may not always say yes, but you're always leaning that way. You're always saying, okay, let's look at the opportunity. Let's see what's out there. Let's see what's different. And let's take that risk, because when you're willing to take that risk, and this is going all the way back to your university days, when you sit there saying, okay, how can I stand out? What are the things that I can do? And what are the things I can learn here that are going to put me in great standing moving forward? You know what? I may not get paid for this. I may not get the recognition I need for it, but what are the things I'm going to learn? Mm-hmm. And it's those neat things that you do along the way to say, okay, here's an experience that I had that when I'm, you know, 10 years later, 5 years later, 15 years later, is going to give me the thought process that I was going to be able to handle the situation as it comes up in front of you.
Yep.
That's something that a lot of people don't think about. You know, it's just that default, yes. You know, you may not go for every opportunity, but let's at least take a look at it. Let's have the risk, that risk personality that says, you know what? What's the worst thing that could happen? Okay, it didn't work out, but what did I learn from it? And I love that about you.
Yeah, you're bang on there. I think that there's a lot of people, and I don't know if it's sometimes even millennials too, but there's a lot of people that just, you know, especially those that are going into college, university, like, I don't know what I want to do for the rest of my life. I'm like, you don't have to know what you want to do for the rest of your life.
But I'm 50 years old. I don't know what I'm going to do the rest of my life.
I'm like, you don't need to, and people stress over that, right? And they get depressed over that. And I'm like, just get involved in things. The more you get involved with, the more opportunities you open for yourselves, the more things you're going to find. Oh, I like this, or I don't like this. And you're like, I'm going to do more of this. Maybe you like to speak. Okay, what opportunities are there in a career that you can speak more, or be more analytical? Like, you start figuring it out when you get involved. And I think that's where people don't give themselves enough opportunities in their life to get involved in things to help figure that out. So they just, like, they'll get stuck in a job that they're unfulfilled in, or they're, they're doing things in their career that they just don't love or enjoy or aren't passionate about. Well, it's because like you haven't got involved in enough things and you're doing it like more so just for a paycheck.
Yeah.
So when you can start figuring out like even sometimes in an organization, you could be like, ah, you know what? This role is getting a little bit complacent in this role. Like, okay, cool. I like to tell people, go and meet with other people in different departments. Go have a coffee with them. Even if it's completely unrelated to your job, you start figuring out things that it's like, oh, I didn't know that you did that for a living, or I didn't know that's what your role was. And you start figuring out what all these people are doing. And you're like, maybe if I could take some ideas and translate it into this division or this one, you start like, you start seeing and playing with opportunities. And I think that's where you might get to a point in your life where you have too many opportunities. You got to start saying no. I'm kind of at that point right now where I'm like, ugh, I have to, but it's better to have a choice to pick right at that point. Cause you're busy enough to say,
right.
I don't have enough. Where previously, like, I don't have enough. Now you're like, I have enough where I can actually choose because I've gone through some experiences and now I know what I love. I'm like, I know I have a choice and be like, I'm not going to say yes to that because I don't love it or I'm not passionate about it. And I might say yes to this and I'll make sure my time is spent on things that are catering to my strengths and also catering to my passions.
Exactly. I tell, you know, I do a lot of mentoring at universities and I tell the kids, and, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, they are kids, you know, when they're 20, 21 years old, that go work for a big company. You know, you may not love your first job, but the opportunities are there. I know people that have spent 25 years working for a company and have never had the same job more than 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
You know, they've advanced, they've careered, they've gone different departments, they've moved around the world, they've done a whole bunch of different things that they never would have thought of doing because they were open to the opportunities that were available within their own corporation. You know, there's too many people there that say, well, I'm not happy, I'm moving to this company. I'm not happy, I'm moving over this. And all they're moving for is a few extra dollars. You know, if you're moving for a purpose, if you're moving because this company is doing this incredible new thing in AI, I'm really passionate about it. The company that I'm working for is not involved in AI. I really want to be involved with this. Then go for it. Move. Absolutely. Go do it. But move for a purpose. Don't move for a paycheck. You know, there's too many people out there that are just moving for a few extra dollars. And you're never going to be satisfied if you do that. You know, if you move for a purpose, if you move within your organization, you move to a different organization. You know, if you move with a purpose and you move with a plan to say, I want to learn this, or I want to have this experience, or I want to be have the ability to do that, your life is going to be so much better. And I love that about you is that you know, I mean, what you started doing at the credit union when you started is probably nothing like what you're doing today.
100%. 100%. And it's funny because you sometimes even have to create opportunities. So like even within what we're doing now is we had a lot of opportunity on the partnership side, but we never actually had a team for it a couple of years ago. So I wasn't even on the partnership side. I actually was doing a mentorship program with another executive out in Vancouver, Van City Credit Union.
Yeah.
And I was doing a 4 or 5 month mentorship program with one of their execs. And as I was going through, he was talking about all the amazing things that they're doing in the community and the partnership division that they have. And I thought, we have a lot of like partners that we already have, but more from a brand awareness standpoint. And here I am, I was on an experienced design team. I was a visual designer.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm having these calls and I'm like, there's a huge opportunity here. So I took my evening one night and I crafted like, we need to be involved more in partnerships. Here's what it could look like. Mm-hmm. And I presented it to my boss at the time, who was sort of directly related with marketing as well. And then he's like, this is a great idea. We talked about it. And that actually ended up turning into a full-time position and a new division. So
you created your own opportunity.
I did. And I think that's the coolest part is that, I mean, there was definitely opportunity there. I think they were thinking about it. But he's just like, you know what? This was actually perfect timing. Some of these discussions have already come up. You put some initiative in, and I think this is a great opportunity for you. And so it just shows that sometimes you got to take the initiative on some things, take risks, right? And open some new opportunities for yourself. You never know. The worst that could have happened was they said, great idea, but not right now.
Yeah.
Right? That's
it. And that's okay. And then you can follow up in 3 years from now or 2 years from now and say, you know what? Remember that thing that we talked about, you know, 2 years ago? I'm still interested in doing this. Where are we?
Yep.
You know, and there's always that possibility too. And what I love about that is the fact that you took the initiative on your own time. Yep. You know, you sat there and said, instead of waiting for somebody to come to you with an opportunity, to sit there and say, you know what, Fabio, what do you think about doing this? You sit there and say, wait a second, there's an opportunity within this company. We have the ability to do this. We have the partnerships already. They're just not as strong as they should be.
Yep.
You know, here's a way that I've, something that I've learned somewhere else that we can bring into the organization and make our organization stronger and put a proposal together, you know, to pitch it. You know, that leads to people sitting there going, this person's got initiative. You know, and it builds your personal brand. And that's what it's all about. It's building your personal brand. And that's where I want to go now. So let's talk about you. I mean, on the things that you're doing personally, because that's where you and I met. You and I met through the LinkedIn profile. You know, we met through LinkedIn, which is where I meet a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I found what you were doing compelling. You know, I found you interesting. I found you engaging. I found you interesting. And I wanted to know more about you. So why don't you tell people the type of things that you do on LinkedIn, you know, that have helped you build, along with your career, be able to build this, you know, a side economy that has become very exciting for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the coolest part is I never intended to actually be at this point when I started. I actually had been on LinkedIn since 2012 and had primarily used it as a resume platform. Sure. I stuck my resume up there. It was actually back when I was in college, 2011, 2012. And it was like conversations with one of my professors who I really well respect. He's like, everyone, you got to get on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So I did.
Forward thinking guy in those days.
Resume together. And it was just an online electronic resume for so long. I did some things. I connected with some people. I had probably 500 to 700 connections in my community only. I never knew anybody around the world. That was always interesting about me, as I never had these contacts in either parts of the world other than in my own city. And so I had said, you know what, I'm going to use LinkedIn as a way to, I think, just share my story, share value for people. If there's something I've learned in my career, I was connected with a lot of students. So I thought, I think there's a student message that I can share for them. Because I did a lot of speaking to universities and colleges, and I thought I can impact more people on LinkedIn that I'm already connected with. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to give it a shot. Just create some content that's good value and just see where it goes, see if it helps my career, open opportunities for myself.
Right.
And then I started opening my feed more and more because I committed to that. And I saw all these people creating content and like videos and written content. And I'm like, this was never on LinkedIn. This was mostly just like article shares and that sort of thing. And it sort of had a light bulb for me. And I thought, maybe there's something more sort of this LinkedIn thing that gets trending in a newer direction. And so I really sort of doubled down then and thought, I'm going to start building a community of people. So I started doing a lot more outreach and connecting and engaging on different posts and finding out who's creating content. And I went from about, 500 to within the first thing they say 3 months, 3,000 connections.
That's a huge jump.
Yeah. And then, that was just through like engaging people, adding other people that are like-minded and engaging on content.
Right.
And then I think it was about that 3 month mark when I started, which is, just under a year ago from, you know, it's, I think I started in November of 2017 is when I started really committing to the platform, creating content. And so under a year ago is when I just started creating content. And I just also not just started creating content, but then decided to start doing video. So I met with, as on a call with a great connection of mine, he's like, you should start doing video. I think, you know, you have an opportunity to share. You're great on camera. You're articulate. So try some video. I was like, okay. So I started to do more video, and it's amazing the opportunities it's opened up for me. So I'm going to start sharing content, and never thought, you know, 10 months later, my content would be seen by 6 million people. Like, I've had 6 million views on my content in 10 months. And
which, you know, is crazy when you start thinking about it.
Yeah. I'm like, I was lucky to do a speaking engagement and reach 300 students. And now I'm reaching 6 million people around the world who I've never had the opportunity to meet. So yeah, the community grew from 3,000 to now 15. And I've been able to meet some amazing people along the way. Like, had a conversation through one of the posts I did. I actually saw that Miguel Forbes, the founder of Forbes.com, had just joined LinkedIn. So I actually welcomed him publicly to the platform. And that post actually got 1.1 million views. And he responded, and he responded back, messaged me, and, you know, thanks for the invite. And so then we connected since. We had conversations. He had done a public post as well saying that, you know, he's met some people great on the platform, and he tagged me. And I'm like, I never would have had these opportunities to someone like to this degree. Here right. I am just in Hamilton, right? And I'm just building a community of people. And then just recently, like as you said at the start, about 2 weeks ago, I had Jay Shetty do a workshop in Dubai. And I like to tell people, you never know who's watching when you create content. You just never know who's watching.
Never know.
So he was doing a workshop, and I had a connection so randomly of mine who I just had met on LinkedIn. She just randomly was at his workshop in Dubai. She just said, hey, I just noticed at the Jay Shetty's workshop, he just pulled your LinkedIn profile up, and he just told everybody to follow you as a great example on LinkedIn.
Wow.
And my jaw dropped. I was in Chicago with my family just on vacation. And and I opened my phone, and it was just, my jaw dropped. And I thought, you know, here's someone who has a community of 17 million people on Facebook. And who am I to be, you know, somebody that he admires on LinkedIn? So sharing it with his clients. And I thought that was just a really cool experience for me that just when you're authentic, when you share value and when you're doing it consistently, the opportunities that open up for you. And that's exactly what has happened on LinkedIn, given me sort of an alter ego or a personal side of things to build my personal brand, which has also helped my career.
Of course.
Internally, people have seen content internally. I hear it first Ontario, but at the same time, out in the community where it's opened up opportunities from a freelance and marketing perspective and a business side as well.
Yeah. And you know, the key word that you use is authenticity. Because, you know, people try to fake authenticity all the time, and you can't do it. You know, you can't be more authentic or less authentic. You are who you are, who you are. And it doesn't matter, you know, who you are. You just have to be real to yourself. And you have to believe what you believe, and you have to act accordingly. Because if you say one thing and do another, people will see it in 3 seconds. You know, but when they say, wait a second, this is Fabio. This is what I see. When I see it consistently over and over and over again, next time I see something from Fabio, maybe I'll sit down and I'll listen to it, or I'll watch it, or read it. And you know what? All of a sudden, the credibility builds, because people sit there and say, you know what? This is what Fabio does. This is what he talks about. This is what he believes in. Okay, I know when I'm looking for information on this, this is a guy to go to.
Yep.
And it builds your credibility. And that's the beautiful thing about LinkedIn. You know, the LinkedIn platform, if you do it right, if you're engaging, if you talk to people, if you, you know, if you're generous, it's amazing the reciprocal things that happen out of it. Yep. And I don't care if you're a company or you're an individual, you know, you need to have an idea of what you want to say, how you want to say it, and be consistent about it.
Yep.
And I love that about you.
I appreciate that. It's amazing that the opportunities I've had. And I just had a LinkedIn local event last night in Toronto. And one person I've never met in person, I've been engaging back on posts. She comments on my posts often, and I just thanked her last night. I met her for the first time, and
nice.
She came up to me and she said, great to officially meet you. But she said, you know what? I've noticed just through some of the conversation we've had, and you being on the panel today and stuff. She said, you are the exact same. You are the exact same person on camera and the authentic person I get on camera as you are in person.
And that's what it should be.
I thought that's so important, because there's a lot of people who aren't like that. They have this sort of a camera presence, and then you meet them in person and it's like, this isn't the same person. I don't feel that same either warmth or like connectivity with them that I do when I'm on LinkedIn. And that's sort of like, I think where a lot of people miss out when they're building sort of this personal brand that doesn't match up with who they actually are.
Right.
That's really, really important. The two have to be tied together.
Yeah. I mean, without naming names, I remember sitting in and doing an interview with a guy, you know, fairly well-known guy, written a lot of books. We did an interview. He was engaging. He was pleasant. He was smart. He was funny. He was a lot of things. And then as soon as the camera was off and we sat down at lunch together, he couldn't wait to get out of the room. And it was like, woof down my meal, say a couple pleasantries, gotta go, gotta grab a cab, gotta get out of here. And you know, there was the attitude, you know, there was a complete different on-camera attitude and off-camera attitude, and it really colored me. you know, it colored me absolutely about, you know, how legitimate is his point of view when you watch him in two different respects and he's that different. You know, yeah. The dichotomy was a chasm. So it was, you know, so the more people can sit there and companies can sit there, brands can sit there and say, you know what, be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else, be yourself. And the more we can be that, the more we can be authentic, the more we can be authentic. The fact that we are authentic, the fact that we tell a consistent story and we act consistently, people will be engaged with that. Mm-hmm. So I got one more question for you and then I'm going to let you go. Cause you know, it's been great. When you walk out of a room and you close the door behind you, you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not there to defend yourself?
That's a great question, because I believe that's really a fundamental, definition of personal branding. Yeah. Is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And, you know, I would hope that people have a trust and respect factor. That's for me. They trust me, and then that they have a mutual respect, both given and received, with me. And I also hope that they see me as someone who's, more of a, has a humble heart. Right. Because I think that's one thing that, you know what, like, it's one thing that I completely miss all the time, where I'm just continually trying to, understand how to just be more humble and just build that humility of the character of humility in my leadership abilities and in my life, as opposed to being proud, because the human heart tends to be proud a lot more than it is humble. And absolutely. I think that's where for myself is, you know, I never want to be too busy to help somebody who's, you know, I like to say, even on LinkedIn, lower than I am. Like, everybody
starts. There's no one lower than us.
Right? You know, there's everybody's on the same playing field. Even in my career, right? Like, there's a student and they're just starting out, you know, in, you know, one of the divisions, and they're just like on a co-op. It's, yeah. I want to be able to say, you know what? I want to take the time to get to know you and help you as much as I can. Absolutely. Because, you know, it's, titles don't matter. And I just want to help people and have impact. So I think that's another one for me, is I hope people can see myself as a leader with humility, especially given that that's a trait that a lot of the best leaders in the world have, is humility.
Absolutely. Fabio, thank you very much. Hang out in the green room for a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, but it's been great having you on the show, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, Ben. I appreciate the time.
All right. It was great listening to Fabio. He tells a great story. He's passionate. He knows where he's going, and he understands that opportunity could come at any moment. You never know where opportunity is, so you have that yes mentality. You sit there and say, why not? Instead of why, you're looking at why not. Let's look at this. Let's have an opportunity. Let's see where something takes us, and be open to doing things in a different way. And the more we can do that, the better off we all are. My name's Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We want to be the storytellers of your brand. We want to be the one that helps you figure out who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you're valuable to, and why they should care. And be able to tell a story that engages, makes people listen, and has them understand your value to them. But every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast, this is the Your Living Brand.live show. We love to see you here. See you next week.